Good morning. I want to thank everyone who's been praying for me and all the love that you've shown me during this whole experience with my eye. It's been humbling to see the support and concern. Really appreciate that. It's certainly been an unusual experience, one I would not recommend, but it pretty much stopped me in my tracks and caused me to see things differently. It caused me to evaluate my perspective on things. And I'm pretty sure there's probably some lessons in here for me to learn. Like maybe I need to slow down a little. Twice since this accident, I have rammed my head into a door because I turned left and didn't look before I turned left. And a door I just ducked under to come in hit me square in the head. Maybe I need to slow down. But clearly I'm a slow learner. But I figured out it isn't my fault. It's genetic. So I would like to talk this morning for a little bit about our perspective on life. Our perspective is our beliefs and thoughts about situations or problems. To have an accurate perspective, I must be wise and reasonable about what I am viewing. Our perspective must evaluate and judge the value and priority of things accurately and fairly if it's going to be okay and work for us. Now, I'm pretty sure that we have all lost our perspective from time to time. Sometimes it's momentary, like when you're mowing and that tree limb smacks you in the side of the face, so you cut the tree down. Other times we lose perspective in a crisis or over a long period of adversity, and we struggle to figure out how to get our focus back to the proper place. Our country is struggling with a severe disruption of perspective. What we perceived as being stable has become unsettled. The way we look at each other and interact has become distorted. I've talked to people who have actually responded to others like they were murderers because they weren't wearing their mask, as if they had pulled a gun on them. I have heard several people talk about how they have not seen their elderly parents since a year ago March, because their parents have barricaded themselves in their homes, and they won't go to see their family, and they won't let their family come see them. Now, before COVID, these people would have been violently opposed to anybody who came between them and their family. Our perspective is completely off balance, and we're all struggling to gain a healthy perspective on life, to arrive at a wise and reasonable way to handle life and go forward. We all seem to be quite adept at losing our perspective, but how do we get it back? What should our perspective be? That's what we're going to look at for a few minutes this morning, some different perspectives, and try to determine which one we should strive for. So number one, how many of you have flown a plane? Yeah. Ever looked out a window in a plane? Yeah. The first perspective we're going to talk about is 30,000 feet. 30,000 feet. You know, at 30,000 feet in a plane, a lot of things disappear that we put an awful lot of time and effort into. You know, I like my yard mowed nice, especially if you get the lines going just right. It kind of looks like carpet. But you know, you can't tell if my yard's even mowed at 30,000 feet. And that house that I spend time taking care of and making it look nice and so forth, I can't tell if it's a house or a rundown warehouse at 30,000 feet. The distance makes lots of things that seem really important really small and really insignificant. In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Paul is saying, keep your focus on the big picture, 30,000 feet. Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 10, he says, "Even when we were dead in sins," "even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has raised us up to sit in heavenly places, to see the exceeding riches of his grace and knowledge from Christ Jesus. That's 30,000 feet. Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. That is the 30,000 feet perspective, the big picture. And that's God's perspective, isn't it? In Acts chapter 7, starting verse 48, Paul says, "Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build? Will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things?" God's perspective is 30,000 feet. Jesus expresses this perspective to Pilate when he says in John 18 and 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." So is that the perspective that we need to hold? 30,000 feet. Is that to be our focus? Well, there's a problem with 30,000 feet. Without some significant assistance, we can't even breathe at 30,000 feet. We would die of suffocation or hypothermia if we weren't in the controlled environment of a plane. We certainly can't find food and clothing at 30,000 feet. So we have to have our feet on the ground and live much closer to things if we're going to function and survive in this world. We have responsibilities and needs that can only be met on the ground. So there's another perspective, the grounded perspective. Here, this life, these needs, these responsibilities. This seems to be what Jesus is referring to as he prays to God for his disciples in John 17, starting verse 14. He says, "I have given them thy word," he's praying to his Father, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Jesus says, "I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. They have to be in this world. They have to live in this world." Paul tells the Christians at Galatia, "Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." That's where it comes down to grounded. We've got needs, we've got responsibilities. That's Galatians 6, 4, and 5. Paul tells the Christians in Thessalonica, "Study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." 1 Thessalonians 4 and 11. Paul tells Timothy, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his house, own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5:8. We have to live here because this is where we're at. And we have responsibilities and duties here. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, God feeds the birds, clothes the grass. And he says, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows you need to live here. God knows you need those things. Matthew 6, 31, 32. God sees those needs, sees our needs. He sees the details. God tells us we should be providing for ourselves and take care of those needs, and he'll help us do that. So is this what my perspective needs to be? Do I need to focus on just me, myself, and I, take care of my needs, take care of myself, provide for myself? Should I build myself a little self-sufficient bomb shelter, move in the basic necessities, lock the door behind me, I'll be fine? Would that be a healthy perspective? Well, we've already seen that doesn't work very well. The problem with this is if our view is only from right here on the ground, then we're still missing a lot. There's more to this life than what we see and hear and smell and taste and touch. There's more than what we perceive at 30,000 feet. What about the things we can't see, we can't hear, can't smell, can't taste, can't touch? What about our thoughts, our feelings, our intentions? Aren't those important? Don't those need some attention? See, I'm learning. Turn to the right. So maybe our focus needs to be on our thoughts and our intentions, thoughts, feelings, and intentions of our heart. In Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, Paul addresses this perspective. He says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Our thoughts and feelings are important. And we need to direct our thoughts and guide our thoughts and feelings. Jesus seems to be emphasizing this perspective in Matthew 15, starting in verse 18, when he talks about what makes a man unclean. He says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. It's not the physical, it's what's inside that makes us unclean. Unclean heart is where evil thoughts come from. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's at this level that the word of God is powerful and exposes our inner thoughts and our inner intentions. They need our attention. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That's Christ's perspective. He looks right down into our hearts, into our souls. So this certainly looks like a perspective that we need to hold close. But there's still something missing. Where are the relationships? Where's the love, the fulfillment, the sharing of life with others? We've seen, like I said, the effects of isolating and take care of yourself. It doesn't work very well. God said it was not good for man to be alone. Mankind is a social being meant to be part of each other's lives. So I call this perspective the one another perspective. Philippians 2 and 4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." 1 Corinthians 10 and 24 says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." Romans 12 and 10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another." Ephesians 4:28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Galatians 6 and 2 says, Galatians 6 and 2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." 1 John 4:21, "This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." So is this the right perspective? I need to focus on my relationships with the people around me. That's where my attention and focus needs to be. Focus on others, preferring them, seeking their interests, helping them bear their burdens. Romans 12, verses 1 and verse 10 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Do I just sacrifice myself and pay attention to these relationships? Help others. Is this what Christ is implying in Luke 9, verses 23 and 24, when he says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." So is this the proper perspective? I just lose my life in my relationships with other people. Helping them, caring for them, supporting them. Which perspective should we as Christians have? How are we going to think about our situations or problems in a wise and reasonable way? Well, the answer, if it isn't obvious by now, is a combination of all four of those. It's a combination of all four. Is not one single perspective, but is about maintaining them all. To become too involved with any single one is to become off balance, and our judgment becomes skewed and unwise. So how do we balance them all? What do we look for to tell that I'm off balance? I need to reproportion my attention and my focus. Well, when you spend too much time in here at 30,000 feet and you do a lot of daydreaming lot of sitting and thinking about what you'd like things to be like, or a lot of dreaming how things will be. And you're going through life like it's supposed to be a joyride at 30,000 feet. And you're not taking care of providing for yourself. Then you need to get your feet on the ground. You need to get your feet on the ground. And you need to focus a little more on what's going on with everybody else. What am I thinking? It's time to get to work and provide for yourself and bear your own burdens. Galatians 6:4. 2 Thessalonians 3, starting verse 10, says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." We've heard the story of the people, I think this is from, I couldn't think where this was at, if it was from the scriptures, but where early on they thought Christ was coming back, so they just went up on the hill and waited. That's stuck at 30,000 feet. He didn't tell you to go up on the hill and wait. You need to get back down here and get busy. Keep in mind the 30,000 feet, but you got to get back down here and get busy. Bringing our thoughts into line with God's commands to consider one another, provide for one another. Give some attention to our relationships. When we're over involved with grounding, what's that look like? Well, I'm overwhelmed with all the details of living this life. It seems like we're going to be overrun by the demands. I can't run fast enough. I can't catch all the plates. That's a sign that you might be overloaded in the grounded. We need to step back to 30,000 feet. What of all this is really important? What's the purpose of all this? You remember Martha, when Jesus came to the house and Mary is sitting listening to Jesus and Martha's in the kitchen. I assume they had kitchens. Anyway, she was fixing the meal. And Martha was caught up in the ground perspective. She was angry with Mary because she was out in the kitchen fixing food that they were going to have to eat. These people have got to eat. And Mary was sitting in there at Jesus' feet, listening. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Luke 10:41-42. Martha was caught up in grounding. She didn't recognize that she needed to be paying more attention to what was going on with her thoughts and intents than she did about these details. She needed to step back to 30,000 feet and remind herself, godliness with contentment is great gain. We do too. We brought nothing into this world. It certainly can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. She was stuck in the grounding. And we get stuck in the grounding. This is talking about those verses that talk about being entangled with the affairs of this life. Talk about being overwhelmed with the cares of this world. When we get too overloaded in the thoughts and intents of our heart, there's a verse that says we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The Pharisee who's praying to God and saying, "I'm sure thankful I'm not like that piece of dirt," that's a screwed up perspective. He's over-focused on his own thoughts of himself. But when we get caught up in our own thoughts and feelings, we become overwhelmed with emotions of grief or anger or fear. When we're tempted to feel hopeless and just give up, then we're
overloaded.
We're overloaded in that. Sometimes we become angry, but God says, don't stay there. Don't stay there. Consider your situation at 30,000 feet. Back up to 30,000 feet. Is it still important what you're angry about? If it is, then you need to get on the ground and go take care of it. Resolve it. Considering one another and forgiving one another. When we're overcome with sorrow, we may have trouble keeping our perspective. You remember Mary, when Lazarus died, was overcome with sorrow. Because, obviously, her brother had died, and Jesus hadn't got there. She was a mixture of anger and sorrow, which is not surprising. Jesus hadn't got there to save, and he died. And Jesus reminds her that he is the one who gives life, and that Lazarus will rise again. Jesus says, remember 30,000 feet? Remember 30,000 feet? But Jesus also joins her on the ground because he stood and wept with her. And he considered them. That's why he wept with them. That's what she needed. She was stuck here. Jesus said, spread it out. When you find yourself feeling like everything or everyone is out to get you, you feel threatened and are afraid, you need to back up to 30,000 feet. Remember, God knows what's happening. This isn't a surprise to God. We need to remind ourselves of 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Go back to 30,000 feet. Go back to what God has told us about guiding our thoughts so that we can have a sound mind. Ground yourself. Focus on what you're responsible for. Focus on how you can love one another, what you can do. What if our focus gets overloaded here on one another? What's that look like? Well, when we get discouraged and disappointed with helping one another and we begin to think we should just go off by ourselves and hide, we're burned out with helping everybody. Don't get the satisfaction we want out of it. Then we need to go back to 30,000 feet. And we need to realize what Paul said in Galatians 6, starting in verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Keep at it. Keep at it. We also need to pay attention to our needs so that we can give to others. If I'm overloaded down here, I need to do some grounding. I need to do some grounding. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 12 through 15, Paul is speaking of giving financially to others, but I think it applies to giving, period, to others. And he says, It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much hath had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. If you get overloaded here, you're going to lose sight of 30,000 feet. You're going to lose sight of, oh, I better take care of myself or I'm not going to be able to keep this up. Or you might notice that your thoughts start going south on you. Because if you don't do this in love, then it's worthless. So we need to move our perspective, realign, reproportion our focus. Like I said before, there are a lot of things that can distort our perspective and get us off balance. When we find ourselves there, we need to return and evaluate, so where am I heavy? And I need to invest some time in the others to balance it out. We can't maintain a healthy perspective in this life without God. It makes me think of the verse that when Jesus was teaching the people and something he said and the crowd left, and he turns to the apostles and he said, "Will you leave too?" And what did he say? Where else am I going to go? Where else am I going to go? Without God and Christ, there is no perspective worth keeping. There is no perspective. We're lost in all senses of the word. God gives us the vision of 30,000 feet when he gave us his plan of salvation and his gift of eternal life. God gives us grounding by providing for our needs. God provides us the knowledge and wisdom to direct our thoughts and feelings to good. God gives us the ultimate example of how to care for one another by giving his son to die so that he could have a relationship with you. All comes from God. So don't be surprised if your perspective gets warbled, if that's a word, gets a little off balance. Don't be surprised at it, but do something about it. Do something about it. Go back to God. Figure out what part you're forgetting to include. If you have not accepted Christ's sacrifice, this is what you're missing. This is what you're missing. If you will repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins, he says you will rise to walk in a new life. Does that mean everything changes? No, we're still here. Remember the verse? We're still here. What changes is your perspective? What changes these? A new life that has meaning and vision and a path to joy beyond our imagination. So we need to pray that God help us keep this perspective. Help us keep it in line with what his will is. We'll offer the invitation to anyone who's in need of it as we stand and sing.